welcome to the podcast.
Hello, fellow listeners. My name is Oscar. I am currently a psychology major. Aside from that, I will be the voice of Devle. That is a tiny dwarven man that had a horrible backstory, basically, but is oddly still jolly, just out of his nature. So if you ever hear Dave voice, that would be me, Oscar, playing Devlak, the dwarf druid.
Awesome. Dan, who are you playing? And who the fuck are you? Why are you on my podcast?
Upon your own request, I'm playing a Southern Belle-esque character called Suzette Chaton de Maupoitrie, which I have yet to get a consistent voice with, but generally she sounds something along these lines, and she gets rather intoxicated on a daily basis. So does the player to deal with the character herself and the stupidities she does. She's a swashbuckler and probably going to get herself killed sooner rather than later. But until then, it's going to be a blast playing her and seeing how everyone interacts in the campaign.
Awesome. Remy?
Hello, I'm Remy. I work on movies, and I am the voice of Detlaf, and the deadly duo of Detlaf and Regis, who was previously an explorer on the Shadow Plane.
As for myself, well, my name is Sam. I'm a social work grad student. I decided that I wanted to try my hand at GMing after playing with these guys for over a year now. Been really freaking fun. We're going to be going through the Rise of the Ruined Lords Anniversary Edition Adventure Path, and I'm going to do the damn best I can to kill these guys, but as you guys are going to see through the first few episodes at the very least, these guys mostly steam through everything I send at them. Anyways, please enjoy episode 1, The Swallow What.
We are set in a dark, ominous environment, seeing virtually nothing but the pale reflection of light on damp, cave-like walls. We hear footsteps and the slow dripping of water into puddles. These footsteps are slow, yet driven, as we see a hooded figure slowly moving towards us. This figure is holding a crystalline object, emitting a faint white light, painting fading lights onto the cavern wall. Turning around, this figure is creeping towards a circular stone structure, with the faint glow of the crystal shining on what appear to be a mountain of skulls. As the hooded figure places the crystal on the structure, a dash of dazzling lights blinds us. As we sit in the moment, letting our eyes adjust to the blinding flash, we hear a very low growl, similar in all ways to a dark, satisfied laughter. As our eyes begin to adjust to the light, the white purity fades into a blue, sunlit sky on a warm day. We are now in the town of Sandpoint, and this is the day of the Swallowtail Festival. Around us are multiple streets, buildings. We have the White Deer Inn to the north, Seva's Armory to the south, multiple different points of interest everywhere on the map. For the purpose of where we are right now, we find ourselves standing in front of the cathedral, where Mayor Derevan has all of our attention. She has a very friendly attitude, and her excitement proves contagious as she welcomes visitors to the town. There are regular town folk around stalls, selling things, showing off their goods. As much as we see a few less than familiar faces, one cat that looks like it has a headache, we see a dwarf that's very, very lonely in a corner, a bit of an eccentric persona. We see some odd figure, but we really can't put our finger on what's odd about it. And not too far from it, we see a very bearded dwarf. Mayor Derevan keeps up with her speeches welcoming everybody and actually even jokes about how even Mr. Ravanki, known workaholic and local tenor, has been able to free themselves for this occasion, much to everybody's amusement except for his own. After the welcomes of Mayor Derevan, we actually have Bearer Hemlock that brings down the mood with his sour attitude, reminding everybody to stay safe during the festival, stay safe around the bonfire, make sure nobody gets hurt, and all that type of stuff. I ask that everybody show a moment of sadness and respect for the lives that were lost in the Great Fire 5 years ago. As everybody settles down for a solid 30 to 45 seconds and let the moment pass. The next speaker was supposed to be local nobleman Lanjiku Kaijitsu. A sudden illness has prevented him from attending the ceremony, which doesn't surprise anybody since he's really not one for frivolous festivities. The crowd being a bit down from Hemlock Morrow's speech, we have here Mr. Sirdek Drakus with his rousing anecdotes. Do you remember the tale of pig of Mr. Lars over there drinking out of the alcohol dispensary and just wound up drunk rolling around for a few hours in the park? It was so funny. Afterwards, speaks about how he and a few other noblemen were able to rouse up the funds to bring back the cathedral in a very long and arduous process. By the end of his speech, he throws in a bit of self-promotion, telling everybody to stop by the Sandpoint Theater tomorrow night to enjoy his new production of The Harpy's Curse, which will be played by the most magnificent, the most wonderful, and the most talented Magnamarian diva, Alexandra. A very respectful applause, thank you very much. And finally, we have Father Zentus, who comes up to the stairs and says, thank you everybody for coming out. It is a absolute pleasure to have you here on this very beautiful occasion. I'm very happy that we may now consecrate this cathedral and let all these years of late unpleasantness past us. Let us rise to the dawn of a new day. It is about 10 in the morning, and you know that just by speaking with the local townsfolk, that in about 2 hours there will be a few things happening in this square.
Broom says, I, of course, would love to go in front of people as the person of the theater.
Thank you so much for taking the time to consider coming to see the play. Do note, however, it will only be tomorrow evening, and as much as our lovely actress here is very eager for her role, she will not be able to currently divulge you any details about said play. Essentially, Remy said he's gonna blend in with the crowd and look relatively, like, local. As he's walking around, he's noticing stuff on stalls, basic artisan stuff, some food also. There are some wooden sculptures to the goddess Shaylin, which depicts a bird with a long feather, with a long tail, sorry. Goddess of beauty. Going around, you also see artisan pieces embroidered with the symbol of Desna, a blue butterfly representing luck. So that's what Remy's character is doing. Dan, what is your character doing and what does she look like?
Well now, I'll be looking around for a mighty fine folk to approach. She goes to one of the merchant or the lady in front of the table there, looks her up and says, well, how do you do, fine lady?
Oh, I'm doing mighty fine. Do you want to buy some of my wares?
I don't know. What do you have for sale?
Well, if you look over here, we have a beautiful blue butterfly of Desna right here. Otherwise, we got this shirt that says, I'm so lucky. And that's pretty much all the stock we have left. That little gentleman over there ran off with all the rest earlier today.
Well, you know what? A shirt saying, I'm so lucky, that sounds right up my alley. So let me take a look at that. She tries it on, sees it fits her.
Yeah, it actually fits her pretty well, lady. That's going to be 5 copper.
She tosses it up and she puts it on and she's quite happy. So, what do you do around these parts other than selling wares?
Well, I'm actually the wife of Mr. Lars over there. I know he's not too keen on being here this morning, but I'm having a whole lot of fun.
Ah, wife! That's lovely! And she starts walking away.
Well, that was a peculiar character.
As you're walking away, you actually notice this enigmatic figure. She actually bumps into him. And looking at him, you actually just like, oh. You commit his figure to memory, and at this point, you don't know exactly why.
Well, probably because if he looks somewhat attractive at all, that's reason enough for her.
Does he look attractive?
He probably does. He looks exotic.
Yeah. Well, okay. She keeps an eye on him, actually, as they keep walking through the crowd.
He's got a serious figure, but like one of those where it's like, he's not super young, but it's one of those like chiseled, experienced figure, person of authority. You're there like, huh, I could like, this is somebody who seems to know what he's doing, you know?
All right. Oscar, what is your character doing?
How I see it is he's kind of reading like a letter that's been written by Amlo, like a parting letter. He's going to accidentally bump into Remy's character, drops down, he's like, Hi, sir, would you know how to make friends by any chance? I'm not too good at it, and as you can see in this letter, my only friend said to make more friends. So, do you know how do you make more friends by any chance?
Can I roll a sense motive, to which I actually have +0, to see how I feel about this?
Go ahead.
14.
How does he feel, Oscar?
I'm just gonna roll for the sake of it. Just honestly, you feel like he's completely honest. Like, it's baffling how honest he is about this. Like, you almost feel like this guy could not lie to you. Like, it would be so easy to know he'd be lying.
It's not so much whether you're being honest or not. It's more the fact that like I'm trying to blend in, and this you're kind of bringing attention. But with that roll, I'm gonna say that he actually goes and he looks around a little bit and slightly flustered for a moment, but then he goes, oh, well, if a friend is what you're looking for, well, you might have found one. Well, what's your name?
Oh, gosh darn. My name is Devla. Nice to meet you. What's yours?
God, I might have to change my name.
Is that your name as well?
Detla.
Oh, God.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect.
Devlak and Detlock.
Keep it.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, no.
You guys are gonna fuck me over so bad.
Oh god, we're Devlak and Detlock. Oh no.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, retcon it. Which comes to worst for mine?
Keep it. Oh, color mine for interesting situations.
This is too perfect, and for the record, this has not even been staged. These guys had no idea which names either one was going for, nor what class. And I actually only noticed Remy's name about 2 hours ago. So,
oh my god,
we're just gonna roll with our punches.
Well, a friendship might start here. Who knows?
Yeah.
He stands back for a moment. He looks at you, but you said he looks very honest. He's just gonna measure you up and down, and he's gonna go, well, Devlak, I'm Detloff. Nice to meet you.
You still see that, like, Devlak is, like, amazed, and you still see, like, he has, like, you know, like, the hippopotamus, like, type of tooth front. He's like, oh my god, this must be a sign. Detloff, we must be destined to become friends.
That will remain to see. His chest is a little bit, like, away from you. Like, he's shaking your hand, but at the same time, like, uneased. How long have you been around here? Are you local?
It's been, a day or so that I've been in town. I decided to do a journey, because, well, back at my place, I only had one friend, right? His name is Amro. And what happened is he had to go to a barbarian and do stuff, you know, the doodad. And, well, since I didn't have any friends, I checked on a map for the place that seemed with the most diverse and friendly folk, and said Sandpoint. So I said, well, I'm going to Sandpoint. And, I was proven right? I met Deadlad, the bestest friend. And for the bestest friend, I give him the bestest berries. So he gives you some
berries that seem really, really good, and it's good berries. Gives you two good berries. A gift from a friend.
You gotta put them in his bandolier.
At this point, you noticed a dwarven coming up to you guys.
A fellow dwarf? Wow. Amazing coincidence. My name, Broomhilda. It is a pleasure to meet you. You as well, good sir. If you're with a dwarf, you must be a good person. That's truly what I believe.
A good person, sure I am. But good sir here and I have just met.
You guys would actually know that Sandpoint is known to be a very come and pass by place, a very mercantile place along the west coast of Galarian, especially in the Varisia region. So it is very, very common for people to just pass through here, and the fact that you're all here on the Swallowtail Festival would be mostly due to the fact that you guys likely walked in either this morning or last night, coaxed into staying here to enjoy the festivities of the following day.
Where might you be from?
I was actually in a theater group that would actually travel from multiple places left and right. I was born in a wee little village known as Stone Hill. So I was tragically in a horrible accident, which horribly disfigured me, as you can see. You can see that she's perfectly fine, physically speaking, weirdly enough. And that's why I could no longer do theater ever again.
Your discussion moves on. You notice Father Xanthus and two fellow NPCs here have actually wheeled in a covered wagon into the square, and Father Xanthus begins recounting the tale to anybody who listens about how Desna first fell to Earth, lost many of her abilities, was nursed back to life by a blind child whom, to thank them, they actually transformed them into an immortal butterfly, thus awarding her the butterfly's symbol as her grace. At the end of recounting this tale, Father Xanthus points towards his fellow NPCs to actually pull off the drape from the cart that they had wheeled in, releasing thousands upon thousands of swallowtail butterflies into the air that spiral in a riot of color to a great cheer from the crowd.
Aww.
The children, and apparently a catwoman, chase after butterflies but are never quite lucky enough to grab them. As time moves on, lunch is provided free at the expense of Sandpoint's taverns. This is as much of a marketing push as it is a way to feed the hungry crowd. This is Ameiko Kaijitsu, who wins with the best dish, having a smoky curry salmon alongside winter drop meat that easily overshadow the other offerings, much like the lobster chowder from the hackfish and the peppercorn venison of the white deer. As the day moves on, you guys wind up playing some games, meet a few of the locals, and at some point you actually meet up with this cat lady that seems to be very, very charming at first.
You would notice her essentially cruising around, seeing anyone who's up for a chat to spare a coin or to engage in interesting conversation.
There you go. And I will have you guys call high or low on a D100 roll.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm so lucky.
She has won bragging rights for the rest of the day among the crew after having easily bested them in multiple different games, much like the balancing contest, the weightlifting challenge, and even the hide and seek, where she was actually hiding on the other side of a tiled roof from the rest of the party.
If we happen to be sitting in the same table or something, she waves over anyone who wants to sit down. Come on, there's plenty of food for all of us over here. Don't be shy. With a very thick southern kind of drawl, this cat lady speaks.
just share free fruit?
Come get the lobster. It's wonderful.
Wait, where my friend? Let me just get my friend. I'm right with you.
He's actually just in a corner, just looking a little bit at people. He sees you approach. He looks at you and goes,
Oh, I have not seen your kind in a while. Well, that brings me back. And keeps talking about, like, back in her damn theater. And meanwhile, Divlak is like, oh, Divlak, it's time for free food. You ready? Hey, friend?
Sure. Let's head on over. Lead the way.
The theater, you say? Well, I do say it's a small world. I'm a bit of a orator myself. I do love saying a tall tale and singing a fine song.
You don't say. What's your favorite scene, a favorite theater of art, by curiosity?
Oh, it's the Grey Tempests, don't you know? They make the finest kind of... Just, I can't take it. We can't both be doing I didn't know you were going to play her with that voice.
I can change it out.
It's good. We've got two characters with the same name and two characters with the same voice.
I do love singing about heroic folk, and I do enjoy telling fantastic tales about those who've done great deeds, like my master did. But I do say, I did not catch your name.
My name is the Broom. Of course, you've probably seen the poster. You'll see them eventually. The big reason, as you probably might eventually know, is that I was horribly disfigured. Once again, completely not disfigured, weirdly enough. It was a horrible accident, I tell you. They were arrested by brigands. And after they burned the place where I was sleeping, burning half of my face off. Horrible, I tell you. Well, regardless, I'm fine now.
Well, I must say, you've healed up quite nicely, if I do say so.
You're too nice.
At this point, I'd say all four of you are chatting.
Oh, but where are my manners? I should introduce myself. My name is Suzette Chaton de Maupertuis, but most people call me Sue.
Ashik, I'm gonna keep it at Sue, because I did not hear anything else.
Suzette Chaton de Maupertuis.
Suzette Chaton, you want to see? I show you promote it a few times. Suzette Chaton, you want I think I'll call you Sue.
A pleasure meeting you too.
Now, and she notices again the gentleman across the table, the one that caught her attention and had the face.
Well, I do say, fine sir, are you feeling lucky today?
As she points at her shirt.
Well, one could say that in a way, yes.
Ah, well, I'm happy to hear it.
I don't think you even need a sense motive on that. She's obviously just flirting with him.
You guys keep chatting. Sue actually just keeps on flirting with Detlef all the time, showing off her skills, having won most of the...
And the other two. She's an equal opportunity flirter with everyone at the table.
How attractive does she look like, actually?
Charisma 16.
And meanwhile, Sue's, basically, flirting with,
everyone.
Detlef or everyone, oblivious. She's just, looking at everyone. He's, in his head, he's like, I finally made more than one friend. This is my best day ever.
As you guys keep on having your fun chatting with this new group of friends that... It seems very unlikely. Two dwarves, one very furry cat lady, and a persona that we just find quite weird yet mysteriously attractive.
One very pale-looking person.
There you go. So as this goes on, you guys enjoy more dishes, you enjoy a bit of the lobster chowder. Time passes, and Father Xanatos takes the stage, and this time, he actually uses a thunderstone to attract the attention. Are you guys all familiar with a thunderstone? A sharp retort, like the crack of distant thunder, slices through the excited crowd as the sun-setting rays paint the western sky. A stray dog that has crawled under a nearby wagon to sleep starts awake as the buzz of two dozen conversations quickly hushes as all head turn towards the central podium, where a beaming Father Zentus has taken the stage. He clears his throat, takes a breath to speak, and suddenly a woman's scream slices through the air. A few moments later, another scream rises, then another. Beyond them, a sudden surge of strange new voices rise, high-pitched, tittering shrieks that sound not quite human. The crowd parts and something low to the ground races by, giggling with a disturbing glee as a stray dog gives a pained yelp and then collapses with a gurgle, its throat cut open from ear to ear. As blood pools around its head, the raucous sound of a strange song begins, chanted from shrill, scratchy voices. Goblins chew and goblins fight, goblins cut and goblins fight, stab the dog, cut the horse, goblins eat and take by force! At that, I would like you all to first roll a perception check and then to roll initiative.
That's why... Ah, shit. It's not good.
That's my perception is 1.
Oh, God.
Perception is 0.
My initiative is 22.
All right, I'm going to have you guys add in your own initiative.
Yep.
You should have access to that.
How long since the screams has this been?
This is seconds afterwards. I would say about maybe 30 seconds has passed since you first heard the first scream. Who got over 12 on the perception?
Oh, me.
Vlack did.
The shaman did not. Both Detlaf and Devlak. Fucking hell. Fuck you guys.
The devs.
You're the one who decided to make us stick with the names.
You both notice right off the bat that the little creature that killed the dog was a goblin. A single goblin licking the blood from its dog slicer, and it looks excitedly at the crowd seeking out a new target. The song is a nameless goblin rhyme performed by several goblin war chanters. Both of you have noticed these, so you will get to act in a surprise round.
Can't fucking do it. This is why I wanted to have this. Yeah, in the future, I'll always have this done in advance, because, yeah, no. It doesn't work otherwise. I'm gonna start summoning a monster.
Detlaf starts summoning a monster. He starts doing an incantation. And Devlak?
Devlak is actually going to cast a spell, and what you're going to see actually is bats on the floor start to grow, to attempt to grab. Reflex save, DC 16.
DC 16, reflex save. Okay. One made it, natural 20. Another one made it, 18. And the other one, they all made it.
Nothing happens for now. I'm going to draw the shape of the area where this would have happened. It's a 40 feet square.
Sounds good.
Oh, radius spread. Oh, wow. Never mind.
And you notice that as people start noticing the goblins with their song, they just start fanning out. With your perception checks, you also hear other noises coming from elsewhere, so you know that this is not just three stray goblins. This is actually a raid that's going on. The guards are all busy handling their own encounters here. So now that the surprise round is over, it is Sue's turn.
Do I actually notice the goblins, or...?
Now you do. The perception check was to get a surprise round.
She's quite shocked that there would be goblins so daring to attack a festival like this. So she moves forward, drawing her rapier, and strikes at the first goblin in sight, right there.
This goblin is on the table, so you are getting the one from height disadvantage.
Plus or minus?
You are getting a minus, he is getting a plus.
Okay.
So, I will strike at him. I will try and fence him and claw him at the same time.
So that's intentional. It's the aura of the radius.
Nice. All right.
Entanglement. Just as a quick thing, if they end their turn, you have to roll another save.
Yeah.
So I strike. Do I hit?
Yes, you hit. And not only did you hit, but you understood their moves so quickly that your rapier actually sinks right into the throat of the goblin, who passes away on your blade instantly.
I whip the blood off.
Beautiful. And that will be your turn, Mr. Devlock.
He's going to maintain the spell.
Maintain the spell? Okay, so do I have to roll another reflex save for my goblins?
That's going to be at the end of their turn, and I think I can move his move here, and that's going to be his turn.
Next is the goblin on the table's turn, and he's too distracted by the food. Goblins can actually eat a huge amount in a single day. So too distracted by the food, the goblin is actually just nipping away at everything on the table and stuffing his pockets, trying to actually be able to get away from there as quick as possible. What a selfish fucker, this guy. So that is his turn. The next goblin here actually tries to climb the steps here to go and flank you, but he fails his climb check. So he instead just attempts to climb and falls on his face on the step, but he's not prone as he just stands up where he was and like, ow, my head, ah, shit. That's their turn.
Also, on their end turn, roll the reflex save for each of them.
Okay, one failed.
16.
Both failed.
A game the entangled condition. So the would you like me to explain what the entangled condition is, or?
No, I actually have it opened. An entangled creature moves at half speed, cannot run or charge, takes a -2 penalty on all attack rolls. -4 penalty to dex. An entangled character who casts a spell, that doesn't apply here.
And then what the shaman is going to do, she says, oh, theater, what fun do you bring me back? And she's going to move to this guy and basically, she's a dwarf, so that's all her turn. Just going in front.
Okay, perfect. So that was her turn. Mr. Deadlock.
Actually, I just realized that for me, summoning is only a standard action, so yeah, eagle's already there.
Alright, I gotta find an image for your eagle.
So I'm gonna send the eagle into this guy's face.
Alright, roll to hit.
10 to hit.
Does not hit. So your eagle soars in, attempts to strike it with its talons, but the goblin is too concerned with the salmon and just ducks in time to not be hit by your eagle.
I'm gonna get up and cast, what's it called again? Shit. Acid Splash. So
range touch.
Yes.
Roll for it.
I already did 15.
Oh, 15? You very likely hit. I just gotta find the page. Yes, you hit.
Okay. 3 damage.
Beautiful. So you cast Acid Splash, and a small orb of acid leaves your hand and actually hits the goblin dead on, who just, my salmon, fuck off!
And then I'm actually gonna take a few steps back.
Alright. That is your turn, this goblin. So this is actually the guy who got hit by your Acid Splash, who is now going to act. He is very, very pissed that you hit him. He's actually going to try to reach you, and not being very bright, he will provoke an attack of opportunity from the dwarf and from, well, actually from these three characters, the eagle, the druid, and the swashbuckler.
17.
That hits. Roll for damage.
Does an 11 touch hit? Actually, scratch that. He's... Question. Dan might know this. While they're doing the attack of opportunity, he's in between the eagle as well as me. So does the dex bonus get lost?
He doesn't lose his dex bonus. I think you get flanking, though.
Do you get flanking? Sorry, it's a total plus.
You get flanking, so you get a 2 to hit. Anyways, Detlaf, that was your eagle's damage.
Yeah. I'll see if she even bothers swinging at it, or else she sees it get,
Yeah, I know. The eagle, having missed its first shot, is actually going to just ram into the goblin and essentially tears all of it apart with its razor-sharp talons. There is nothing left of this goblin, except a mound of detritus, blood, and gut, and salmon. So it is now Sue's turn.
She's going to essentially do an acrobatics to, like, jump, roll over the table, and land beside the goblin and try and stick him in the face.
Roll for it.
I'm going to also do a daring do as I do so. I'm going to spend one panache point on an acrobatics to add 1d6 to the roll. Oh god, good thing I threw in that extra d6.
So that was your acrobatics check to go over the table, correct?
Yeah, then trying to land beside the goblin. I'm trying to go up and up.
You managed to do it, but you actually, doing so, you try to be very elegant, but your hand actually goes into the plate of mashed potatoes, and you look at your hand, and it's just mashed potatoes covering your rapier-wielding hand. You may roll for attack. And you hit. This goblin, who previously attempted to get over some stairs and bumped its head, actually looks dead at you while you're doing your almost agile maneuver, and your blade just sinks through its eye as it tries to just complete its song. He dies from your blow very, very quickly. What do you do now? You still hear noises of goblins around, and we will still go in turn order, so that was turn. Druid, what will you do?
If he still hears goblins nearby, he's just gonna maintain his spell. He's like, I protect my French. It's important to protect French.
Alright, that's perfect. Shaman, what will you be doing?
The shaman is going to proceed to explore.
Alright, the shaman goes to explore, going a bit farther from the party, but sure. Detla, as time goes on, you actually have a friend that comes up.
The eagle would immediately vanish.
Alright, the eagle's gone. Do you do anything in particular?
Do I hear where the sound comes from?
You hear sounds coming from everywhere. The whole town is being attacked by goblin.
But yeah, I pop next to Devlock and I tell him, be careful, stay close. There's clearly many others.
As a few rounds pass, you actually start hearing a bit of the song. Goblins race and goblins jump, goblins slash and goblins bump, burn the skin, mash the head, goblins here and you be dead. As a new battalion of goblins come up, these guys are wielding torches. They set the cart ablaze, and amongst them you actually notice this goblin right here, who seems to be singing a bit louder. Instead of holding a torch, this one female is actually holding a whip and a blade in her other hand. We will keep your current initiative, but I will have to roll initiative for these guys.
So if they ever enter the circle, they have to roll a save.
Yeah. So it is now her turn. She moves up 5 feet and simply continues her song. Cat Lady, your turn.
Since they're pretty far away, I'm going to move by, well, as I'm moving, I'm also drawing what seems to be a small dart from inside a little side pocket, and I'm going 5, 10, yeah, about 15 feet right here, and I'm just gonna chuck a dart at the nearest goblin.
Okay.
I'm gonna be fighting defensively, so I'm taking I think it's -2 or -4 to it.
Fighting defensively, -4 on all attack to gain +2 AC until the start of your next turn.
Perfect. So I'm just chucking one dart at her at -4. 2 range increments, so...
Your range is 30 feet, I'm guessing, your first range increment?
It's 20. So it's minus...
She is 35 feet away.
So -6 total, plus 5, so just -1. Alright. Natural 20!
Roll for damage, double damage. I'm not confirming crits yet.
Doubling the damage from the dart, so it's just going to be 2d4.
Roll for it.
Minimum triple damage. Triple ones there. 1, 1, 1.
Oh god.
Still, I think I've pissed her off with that one.
You see the dart actually land on her, just like a bit of acupuncture, but with a bit more force, but she just goes on with her song. So that is your turn. this Gabo here had saved on his first reflex save and will attack with his torch Cat Lady because he loves to see fire and he wants to see Cat Lady burn.
Not my precious fur.
Does a 16 hit your AC?
No, it does not, especially not with fighting defensively.
All right. So he comes in, he tries to swing his torch at you. He just misses, sort of like kind of laughing at your more of an esquire position. And so that was his turn. Devlak, your turn. Oh, by the way, the goblin failed its second reflex save, so he is now entangled.
He's just going to shift around here, and from then I'm going to sadly remove the pretty aura, because sadly does not follow me around, so... So, Devlak's just going to hold there and maintain the spell.
Alright. He moves there and maintains the spell. Two more goblins come up. The first one fails. Do they stop moving as soon as enter there, or is it treated as difficult terrain?
The moment they enter it and they fail, they must stop.
They must stop? Okay, so he ends his turn there. The next guy is going to try his own reflex save. He passes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And he's going to attack Cat Lady because he saw his friend try to attack Cat Lady and he thinks it's a funny shit to do. Does a 14 hit your AC?
No, it does not.
He essentially finds his friend so funny that he just and then does the same thing, almost just presenting you with a lit end of a torch.
Oh, I wish I had something out right now.
That is his turn. Brum, that it is now your turn.
Brum is going to basically say, as they say in the theater, sleep on this guy, which should hit this guy as well as this guy. So all three are affected. Roll a will save. It's smaller hit dice first, though.
Okay. What's the DC?
DC 14.
So he failed. I'm going to give him this condition. He passed, and she passed.
One of them is asleep. The rest, all good.
All right. How long are they asleep for?
It lasts a minute.
Okay, perfect. So they're essentially going to be asleep for what I'm expecting is the rest of the combat.
Probably.
All right. Does the shaman do anything else?
Yeah. You know what? The shaman. 1, 2, 3.
All right.
Time for combat.
This guy's turn. He's gonna fail the reflex save, so he stops there, and he's now in tank. Remy, Deadlock's turn.
Are there shadows anywhere around these guys? Like, as long as it's not like directly in the sun.
There are shadows underneath this table here, shadows on top of this tall here, underneath the table here.
There?
Yeah.
Alright. My friend here is going to move in the shadow here and attack this guy. I take it I can't do any sort of charge from where I was, right? Because the fountain and everything.
Yeah, it's way too much stuff to be able to do a full charge.
Since he was stealthing, though, is he able to catch him off guard and have him flat-footed?
Roll a stealth check?
Oh, where?
Never mind, he rolled a 5 total, so...
Oh,
yes.
Boy. Gonna do his attack. I'll roll nice. 10.
So, 10.
Probably not really.
You do not hit.
That's fine. So, I'm going to take a step over here. I'm gonna cast Acid Splash against this little fella here.
Roll for it.
Ooh, 19.
Alright, you hit. Roll for damage.
Believe it's, yeah, so just one damage.
So you hit the goblin who just like, yeah, with his torch and blocks most of your projectile.
Ow, 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 shoulders, ow, you hurt.
Is that the end of your turn?
Yep.
Perfect. This is the turn of the female goblin. She will walk up to the edge of the entanglement and she will end her turn there. Cat Lady.
All right. I'm going to then swing my rapier at the one in front of me and attempt to claw the one at my left or right on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So the one in front of me, it's going to be...
They are entangled, so they are taking a -2 to their AC.
Ah, excellent. So
Oh, 18. That is a crit on the rapier as well.
You crit him.
Want me to confirm anything?
No, we do not confirm crits so far.
Okay, so I regain my panache then?
Yes, you do. Double damage would be 2d6 plus 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So,
how do you want to do this?
I just, you know, kind of Zoro, except in this case, instead of Z, it's an S. It's just like right through him.
Beautiful. So you essentially carve out, just with repeated stabs, you essentially carve out the pattern of an S across their torso, much like your shirt depicts. I'm so lucky. And the goblin falls completely dead under con to the ground.
Con, damn.
Under constitution. Yeah. He is completely deadified. You may do your next attack.
Does a 14 hit?
They are getting minus 2 to their AC, so yes, a 14 hits.
So it's going to be a simple 1d4 as an offhand just...
You hurt him really fucking bad. Straight in the face, you actually almost gouge one of his eyes out as the claw marks dig deep into the skin, and you see, like, he really didn't like that. So that was your full round action. That will be your turn.
Yep. Deathlock. I can still take a 5-foot step during a full round action, apparently.
Yes, you can.
So I'm going to take a 5-foot step in this direction on top.
Sounds good. You are now stepping on top of the goblin.
Yeah, I kind of casually walk on top of him.
Mm-hmm. Deathlock.
He's going to move here and maintain the spell.
All right, he moves there and maintains the spell. So the goblin is... Does drawing a weapon provoke?
Not generally. If they have a BAB of 1, I believe it doesn't provoke or anything.
Okay. I think BAB is just if they're able to draw it while moving.
As a move action, but...
Yeah, they're going to spend a move action to... They're going to 3-action drop their move action draw their dog slicer, and attack action attack you. Does a 12 hit your AC?
No.
That's their turn. This guy here is fully asleep. So he said that's for a minute, so nothing happens for him. Shaman, what do you do?
So Shaman, what she's going to do is basically take her time to, I don't know how long it takes, but like, go over the table.
Prying attack does not provoke an attack of opportunity.
She's actually going to go here, and she's going to say, "Aren't you feeling a little chilly, son?" And she is effectively going to cast Frostbite. So it's a touch attack.
Okay. Roll for it.
For a touch attack, it's just your BAB, right?
Plus strength, I believe, or deck, if you have strength feats.
What's the BAB of a shaman? Sorry, let me just check where some stores.
I think they are at 0 BAB.
At level 1, I think.
Okay.
And they are getting minus 2. That is a hit.
Perfect. So, well, this is not lethal damage, however, they are now fatigued.
Oh, okay. They are entangled, they are fatigued. I have another that's asleep. Alright, so that is the damage. They are unconscious.
Perfect.
They are not dead, however, given that that was non-lethal damage, they are simply unconscious. I will move them out of the initiative order. Mr. Dutton.
So my friend is going to step out of the shadows with a 5-foot step here.
Alright.
And it's going to swing twice at this goblin.
Alright, this goblin is entangled, so we got a minus 2, go ahead.
So first attack is 19, second attack, 7, probably miss.
Your first attack hits, roll for damage.
Yep, 6 damage.
How does your shadow attack claw?
Claw attacks, yes.
Okay, your shadow essentially claws at the face that was already clawed before, and they essentially tear off all of the skin. Both eyes are now gouged out, and you just see a mulch of blood, skin, and skull go down on the ground, completely dead. Yourself? Your character?
I am going to... So let me check the range of my spell. So I'm going to move here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use Acid Splash against her over there.
Go for it.
So, touch attack.
Yeah.
17.
17 should be a hit. It is a hit. Roll for damage.
And a big 3 damage.
You see, that knocks her back. She is definitely hurt from that. Being hit by acid, you actually stop her song actually hit her in the mouth while she was singing and burns her tongue. Was that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Perfect. On her turn, she will take a 5-foot step back and she will cast Cure Light Wounds on herself. I should not have said that, but whatever. I should have said she cast a spell. That is her turn. Sue.
She's going to try and be acrobatic again. This time she's going to try and essentially go... I'm going here, and then I'm going to try and get on the table and land right there. So I think I've got the movement, right? It's going to be 5.
Well, this card is actually burning right now, so you may not want to go on the cart.
Never mind, then... Gonna do a straight acrobatics check to end in the middle of all of them.
Good idea. Roll acrobatics to not be hindered by the body in your way.
Yeah, and I will use one panache point right away as well, so I'm adding a d6 to this.
Flip over them.
Alright. I very cockily tisk at her going, it's not very nice to ruin other people's festivals, don't you know? And she tries to strike at her.
Do you say that in common or in goblin?
In common. I don't have goblin, so...
She looks at you and she's like, but it's so fun! And you actually understand her.
Ah, that's a crit.
That's a crit. Roll for damage.
Jeez, okay.
It's max damage. Everything is maxed. How do you want to do this again?
Yeah, in this case, it's just a very straight through her heart. It's like, I'm sorry to be a heartbreaker, dear, but your party's over.
You have so much power that when you pull your rapier out, it actually pulls the heart out and starts tearing veins off it as she actually sees her heart before she dies. She was actually gonna cast Hideous Laughter on you.
Jeez.